I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Nick Gazer. I'm actually with the National Corn Growers Association. And this partnership, it really came together from calls from our membership. Our farmers are very interested in soil health, conservation management practices, but they still have a lot of questions about how to adopt these management practices on their own farms. A lot of site-specific questions throughout the Midwest, those still remain. So as we were putting together the Soil Health Partnership, we were trying to address the site-specific questions that the farmers are having, and then to set up a demonstration farm network to really provide those linkages between soil health, maybe no-till, maybe cover crops, prescription nutrient management, and ultimately impacts on productivity, economics, and environmental responses coming out of it. So within this talk this morning, I'll take you through the objectives and organizational structure, a little bit about our farm network, some of our outreach and communications that we're already engaging in, our research approach that we've established in the first year of the partnership, some collaborations, and what we hope to achieve as we move forward with the partnership. So the goals of the partnership, really, it's about setting up a demonstration farm network of farmers, primarily through Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. The goal of the demonstration farm network is to link farmers with other farmers, develop peer-to-peer mentoring skills with those demonstration farmers, and have them relay the information that we help to provide to the demonstration farmers themselves. So it's within a local community, having those farmers tell other farmers what's working, what's not working, and then from our perspective, providing resources so that they can do that more effectively. We're establishing standardized research protocols in terms of the methodology we're using to assess soil health, water quality, and other aspects of soils and crop productivity. And then the end goal is to publish the research findings in peer-reviewed scientific journals, come to events like this and present our information, but at the same time, update our best management practice recommendations and provide, again, more site-specific and localized information for farmers. And then at the end of it, we're supporting networking and technical assistance to the farmers to help them improve adoption rates of conservation management practices. So the partnership structure, again, I'm with the National Corn Growers Association, and we're serving as administrator for the project, but our funding comes from a diversity of organizations. Monsanto and the Walton Family Foundation have both given us grants to help support this work. We just received a NRCS Conservation Innovation Grant to help support the work as well. And we're looking for additional partners within industry, within NRCS is involved in this. Soil and water conservation districts are involved. So we're trying to have a diversity of groups come together to tackle these large-scale issues. Our steering committee consists of, again, the National Corn Growers Association, Monsanto, and then the Nature Conservancy is involved in a technical role within the steering committee. Then along with that, to guide us in our scientific data collection, we have a scientific advisory council. And this council itself represents a diversity of organizations, whether it's university professors, USDA ARS members, NRCS members, a couple NGOs up here represented by the Environmental Defense Fund and the Nature Conservancy. So again, reaching out and bringing in a diversity of organizations to help tackle linkages between soil health and conservation management practices. So going back to the demonstration farm network, this project is a five-year initiative. It kicked off in February of 2014, and within the first year we have 20 farmers enrolled, but we're looking to expand this as we move further in the project. We're looking to enroll 20 farmers each year of the project, so at the end of the 5 years, we have 100 farmers enrolled in the project. And we're hoping we can use those farmers, or not use those farmers, but those farmers can link with other farmers to have a greater impact. Again, going down to those localized management practices and localized recommendations for their local community. These farmers will be hosting field days and serve as local resources, again, the peer-to-peer mentoring relationships. In networks that we're helping to try to support. Ultimately, it's coming back and measuring soil health and linking those to management practices, engaging in farmer discussions on what it means to improve in soil health on an individual farm, whether it's a linkage to cover crops, precision ag, tillage, nutrient management, crop rotation, So it's soil health and then linking it into water quality as well. And lastly, I have the field to market field print calculator listed down here. And the goal there is to at least enroll each individual demonstration farm field in the field to market field print calculator to gain broader exposure for some of the sustainability initiatives that are currently available and to benchmark progress through time. So these are our current sites spread again from Nebraska to Ohio, with the majority of the sites being in Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. We do have one site in Wisconsin. As we move forward with the project, we will probably be keeping most of the sites within Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, but we are looking to expand beyond those states as well, moving more into Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, as we move further into this project. So outreach and communications for the farmers coming up. We've had several local field days already. We've had three in September, and we're going to have five more in November. And these are spread throughout the geography. The three that we've had already were within Iowa and Illinois. And as we move further, we're going to host them in Nebraska, more within Illinois, several within Indiana. And as we move further in the project, we'll have winter meetings, discussions, roundtable events, to again tie the farmers to other farmers and talk about soil health and improvements to soil health from conservation management practices. Along with that, we're developing a web-based library of resources, and this will be a library of resources telling the stories of the farmers involved in the project, what they've used on their farm to improve soil health, what is their view of soil health, hear it right from the farmers, not from our perspective, but from the farmers themselves. Videos, video interviews, audio interviews, print media will be available as well. We'll have links to the data we're collecting on the across the farm network, and then we'll have links to other resources like NRCS resources, the Midwest Cover Crop Council will be linked there, so other resources that are available to farmers throughout the geographies to provide them more information. We will be convening an annual Soil Health Summit, and the Soil Health Summit is to bring all the farmers of the project into one central location, along with their agronomists and other service providers to these farmers, to understand their decision-making process, and then to have them provide candid feedback to us on how we're doing in this project. I want to know from the farmers themselves, I want them to provide candid feedback. Are we hitting the mark? Are there things that we can improve as we move forward? This project has only been going for about 6-7 months, but even in that amount of time, am I hitting the mark? Are we moving forward in the right direction? Are there things that we need to change and redirect to be more effective with the farmers themselves? And I want to hear that directly from the farmers and their agronomists. So with the Soil Health Summit, we're trying to pull everybody in, and we'll have a couple keynote speakers from the Soil Health Partnership farmers themselves to gain motivation to be part of this project, but then also to review. Within the last year, the National Corn Growers Association has initiated the Good Steward Recognition Program. And this Good Steward Recognition Program is to highlight and recognize farmers using good steward management practices on their farms. Things like no-till, cover crop usage, irrigation efficiencies, trying to pull those together and tell the stories of the farmers that are using these practices and how effective they have, or how they've become effective, and link that to other farmers so that they can be effective in the future as well. So I'll move slightly, or switch into our research approach and our systems comparison approach. Across the farmer network, we're trying to introduce a standardized methodology to collect the information, not necessarily in treatment structure, but in methodology in collecting the information, the data we're collecting. The treatment structure will vary a little bit farm to farm, and we're not trying to be prescriptive in exactly what treatment is imposed on each individual farm. It's a conversation with individual farmers, asking them, what's the next step on your farm? What are you interested in, and how can we provide resources to get you there? Is the farmer already using no-till? Do they want to go to cover crops? What are some of the questions they have in moving from no-till to cover crops? Or maybe they're using no-till and cover crops, and they're looking at nutrient management interactions with cover crops and no-till. How can we help them provide resources to evaluate that in treatment strips? So what we're looking at is, if you look on the right, We have a field that's about 20 acres, broken up into 8 even strips, and the green dots represent soil sampling points. But 4 of those strips, this is all going to be randomized, but 4 of those strips would be a farmer control. What is that farmer using on greater than 50% of their acreage? The other 4 strips would be an adaptive management treatment. And again, this could be inclusion of cover crops, moving to reduced tillage, to no-till, to strip till. And then we'd make those comparisons, an A versus B comparison, define those systems, and then have that information going back directly to the farmer. And we'd link this information with other farmers in the area as well to let them know what's effective in that area and what's not. We do have a commitment to publish. All the data we are collecting will be public data. So we're hoping to publish in scientific journals, along with provide updates to best management practice recommendations that can be fed directly back into the farmers themselves. And the project being a 5-year project, we were trying to break the mold of the 1 to 3 year funding cycle and move a little bit longer term to hopefully move through a transition period in adopting conservation management practices to gain broader relevancy and generalizability from the results coming out of the study. The soil health metrics we're using, and these again go back to those green dots on the previous map. We're collecting routine soil data. It's for just routine chemical analyses, and that would be represented in the upper left-hand corner. We are using one centralized lab for all the samples across the entire project geography, and that was intended to reduce variability from any kind of lab techniques. Along with that, our soil health assessments that are what we're using, we're trying to use commercially available soil health assessments that any farmer could use. And so the two that we've used up to this point, and we're not trying to be exclusive and try not to avoid any kind of future soil health assessments, but the two that we saw as most prevalent would be the Cornell soil health assessment, and that's represented on the right. And then Rick Haney's assessment for nutrient cycling and nutrient availability from the ARS lab in Temple, Texas. So we're using both of those as well. And I think these assessments provide a great awareness, or an awareness for farmers of other aspects of their soil that move past just the chemical attributes. What are the physical attributes that can be linked to crop productivity and economic profitability? What are the biological aspects? Help them think in a broader spectrum across the soil science and how that might impact their farm, and link that back into environmental responses as well. So additional metrics we're collecting, yield data on every single farm, and we're identifying a subset of farms for more rigorous data collection in plant health, plant growth, nutrient cycling, and these additional metrics are being collected in collaboration with universities, with NRCS, ARS members, reaching out and trying to be collaborative again, recognizing that we're relatively limited in personnel resources, but if we establish a network of farmers, and then also with that university or ARS, NRCS, other soil water conservation district researchers, we can accomplish a lot more. We also have an economic component, and again, this will be collaborative, linking in with other organizations to try to gain more power from the data we're collecting. We'll look at yields, cover crops, tillage, nutrient management, what are the pesticides costs of moving to no-till or cover crops, what are the management requirements, do the management for of your labor requirements, do those change, the management time in the field, does that change? Trying to link these all back to the conservation management practices we're helping to encourage, and then also how does it hit the farm gate economic profitability metrics. So we're working with university professors in this as well. We've only just begun collecting information for economics, but we're hoping to move forward and have some meaningful results as we continue on with the project. We're developing a water quality monitoring strategy to complement the soil health work we're doing as well. So the soil health work we've already initiated. The water quality monitoring strategy, we do have some seed funds to get going, but we want to make sure we're using our funds most efficiently. So we're developing a strategy, again, collaborative, to map out where sites are currently instrumented and where we might want to go and instrument additional sites to have most impact from the research we're engaging in. We're looking at personnel. who also are available from, again, NRCS, universities, soil and water conservation districts, other organizations that might serve to help us out in collecting this information. Again, the data is going to be all public, so hopefully people can come together and participate in this. What are the funding streams from both public and private sectors? From the Soil Health Partnership perspective, we have both streams of funding. We've reached into both streams of funding. We're hoping in the future we can link into additional ones. How do we get more industry partners involved? How do we get more public sector partners involved? So we see this as a community approach to tackle large-scale issues, and that's what we're hoping to engage in. And then going back to data categories and quantity, when are we going to collect the information? What information are we going to collect? Are we going to collect water quality data year-round? What is the cost of that? What is the personnel requirement in that? Are we going to target specific months of high precipitation events? Where is this going to go? So we're trying to decide all that as well, again, with the aid of that scientific advisory council that has been very helpful in this process. We do have the sustainability metrics. I mentioned field to market. We're enrolling every field that's in the project within field to market to look at sustainability changes or benchmarking over time to see those continuous improvements, hopefully, over time. Looking at land use, conservation, soil carbon, and others. And what I like about the field to market calculator is the ability to compare the farmers on multiple levels. How do you compare to your neighbor in your county? How do you compare to your neighbor across the state? How do you compare to your neighbors across the country? Provides relevant examples and that a little bit of that competitive edge as well to let farmers know what are the opportunities to improve your own operation. And again, I've mentioned multi-level collaboration and these collaborative opportunities. These are some of the organizations we've already worked with. We're hoping to add more in there, and it would be within the co-location of sites. We've had these several field days and invited speakers from a number of organizations to link the farmers with the local resources that might be available. With our communications, getting the word out, Soil Health Partnership is brand new. It's trying to help the farmers understand what is the Soil Health Partnership, what are they getting involved in. Our soil health sampling protocols, making sure that these are standardized and these are the right methods to use when assessing soil health and linking it to some of the management practices we're helping the farmers to address or improve on. So the next steps of the Soil Health Partnership, we want to expand our farming network, again bringing 20 sites on each year of the project. We want to foster those peer-to-peer mentoring skills, help the farmers link to other farmers, and then ultimately refine the localized BMPs to go down to even a county or township level and provide recommendations to farmers on that scale so that they know what works and what may not work, so that as they're adopting no-till or cover crops or prescription nutrient management, what are some of the stumbling blocks they may run into and how do we overcome those more effectively and efficiently. And continue to foster collaboration across these areas of collection, communication, outreach, and then gaining funding support as well. So I thank you for all listening in, and with that, I'll take any questions.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your talk. The initiative it looks a good initiative to me. And since you are in your early stage, I would suggest you know that in Europe, where I come from, south part of Europe, Spain, the traits that are being used in the corn monoculture or corn soybean rotation, with especially the BT trait, which may be affecting soil health in terms of soil biodiversity or soil functioning in terms of residue decomposition. I wonder if any of the farmers participating is considering the comparison of how this trait is affecting soil health. I mean, you may consider, I think it would be good. Instead, there are already some research done that show that non-negative effects. It would be good if you can continue documenting this. Thank you.
So the question was regarding transgenic traits and interactions with soil health. And we're not making that direct comparison, but I can say from the farmers involved, we're trying to be very inclusive. It doesn't matter what management practices the farmers are using. We're trying to get everybody involved and collaborate with all farmers, no matter what they're using.
Thank you. We shall move on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.